We all, I believe, want to be, well, we want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to be understood. Isn't that right? Do you want to be understood? You want to be understood. Deep down, I know, if you're anything like me, you want to be understood. We want people to accept us for who we are, and I believe we truly want to be known. We have this desire deep down within us. When we're not accepted, it can be tough. It can be tough when we don't feel like we're accepted. When we are misunderstood, it can actually be downright hurtful. Most of the time, when we are misunderstood, I believe it's because people haven't really taken the time to hear what we're saying, to hear us out. Maybe they heard the first couple words, maybe they heard the first little bit, and they ran with it in their mind, and they didn't really hear it, and we're misunderstood in that sense. They haven't really listened. Well, tonight I want to tell you that Jesus himself felt exactly like that. Jesus, the Christ who came to this earth, felt exactly like you do when it comes to being understood. He shared his heart with the religious leaders of the day, and they did not accept him. He answered their accusations, and they did not understand him. So what does Jesus do? He moves out to teach some people that might actually listen to what he had to say. And if they listened, they just might understand what he was saying. In our text tonight, Jesus begins a series of parables called the Kingdom Parables. And he uses parables to teach people God's truth, but specifically people who want to hear and want to understand what he is saying to them. A parable is usually, it's a story taken from everyday life, something common, and it's used that they might understand a deeper spiritual truth. Tonight we're going to look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is about listening to, understanding, and allowing God's truth to come alive in us. And Jesus uses the story of the sower. Going out, a sower goes out to sow some seed, and as he sows the seed, some of the seed falls on different types of ground. Now, in the parable that we're going to look at tonight, there are four kinds of ground that the seed falls on, and the ground actually represents four different kinds of people and four different kinds of conditions of the human heart. And so we're going to look at these four different kinds of people and four different conditions of the human heart. The lesson of the parable will ultimately teach us how to hear and understand the Lord in our lives. And so this is a very important parable. How we hear from God depends on the condition of our life. How you hear from God depends on the condition of your life, your heart, the soil of your heart. So tonight, as we look at the parable, I want you to ask yourself a couple questions. Look to see what kind of ground you are. Now, don't immediately just say, well, I'm the good ground. I want you to really be honest as the Lord teaches us this tonight. Really be honest with yourself and allow the word of the Lord to bring about the change that is necessary. And we'll see how, ultimately, that we can hear from the Lord. So let's pick it up. We're going to read the first 9 verses of the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew chapter 13, and it says this. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat, and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke to many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they did immediately spring up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus tells this parable of the sower. First, he goes out. He goes out and he goes down by the sea. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sea of Galilee, and he goes down by the sea, and the crowds follow him. So many people followed him down there that he literally, you know, they were just crowded there by the shore, by the beach there, and so many people that Jesus just actually got out into a boat, and he sat down in the boat, and the people were on the shore. And if you can picture it in your mind tonight, here's Jesus sitting in a boat, just kind of a little bit out from the shore, and then here's this throng of people on this hillside that kind of comes up from the sea, from the lake, and here he is sitting in this boat, and this is how he taught them, sitting in a boat. Now, I would consider Jesus the greatest teacher that ever lived, amen? He's the greatest teacher, and he's employing a nice tactic here, right? He's teaching from a boat. I want to be a great teacher myself, so I was thinking if I could get myself a boat and maybe we could go out and we could, you know, duplicate this, I might be right up there with the best of them. Amen? There was a pastor of a church who bought a boat, and he named the boat, he named it Visitation. And that way, when he went out on the boat and people called the church and he wasn't there, and the secretary answered on the phone, and she would tell the people that called, no, the pastor's not here. He's out on visitation. And you'll get that in a few minutes. Anyways, before we plow through the parable tonight, and that's the pun is intended, I want to ask the question, why did Jesus teach parables? Why did he teach the parables like this? Many, and perhaps most people, think that he used parables to get across spiritual truths that were better explained using stories, and so he used these stories to help kind of everybody, help the masses understand these deep spiritual truths, and that sounds like it's right. But when you look deep into the reason why Jesus actually taught in parables, it's actually the opposite is true. What? Yeah, the opposite is true. Actually, the truth is the other way around. Jesus taught in parables from a certain point in his ministry to conceal the message found in them to only those who truly had an ear to hear what he was saying. He actually taught these to specific people that actually had an ear to hear and to understand what he was actually saying. Telling them. Why? Why did he do it this way? Well, if you look back in the context, if you go through Scripture and you study Scripture, what you want to do is you want to always look at the immediate context of a passage so that you can better understand what's going on. If you look at the immediate context of chapter 13, Matthew has relayed to us right before this in chapter 12 what has happened in Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry. And it's not too nice. It's not a great situation. If you look into chapter 12, you see that it's a turning point in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus faces multiple points of confusion, misunderstanding, and downright attack. And it's in kind of encapsulated right there in one chapter in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's literally a turning point in the life of Jesus' ministry. First, in verse 24, Jesus, He had been casting out demons, and in verse 24 of chapter 12, Jesus is actually accused of casting out the demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So they actually said, you're actually casting these demons out by the power, by the ruler of the demons. Beelzebub was literally the god of the demons. It's kind of sounds like a funny name, Beelzebub, and we can all laugh about Beelzebub. What's that? Yeah, the ruler, the god of the demons. And the people were saying, look, he casts out the demons by Beelzebub. Wow. Second, the scribes and Pharisees demanded to see a sign from him. He had already performed many miracles, validating his message, but they said, give us a sign. Give us another sign. In other words, they didn't accept what they had already seen and what they had already heard. They had already seen plenty. They had already heard plenty, but they didn't accept it. And they said, give us another sign, Jesus. Give us another sign. And Jesus is rather harsh with them. He says, you know what? A sign is not going to be given to this wicked and perverse generation, only the sign of Jonah. What's that? The sign of Jonah? Yeah, Jonah went into the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and he came out, as it were, of the belly of the whale, and that is exactly a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that he would go into the earth for 3 days, three nights, and come out resurrected to glory. And then to top it all off, Jesus' mother and his brothers come for him and say, come on, Jesus. You've had too much. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, the trainer of the boxer who's just getting shellacked out there. And the trainer says, you know, let's just throw in the towel. Let's, you know, and maybe in Rocky, Mickey wants to throw the towel. And he's like, you don't throw that towel in if it's the last thing, you know. And that's kind of the attitude of Jesus. But can you imagine? Here's Jesus, his mother and his brothers at this point coming down. Come on home, Jesus. Come on home. This is rough out here. This is rough out here. This is what Jesus is going through. This is the type of stuff that's going on in his ministry. And so chapter 12 literally becomes a turning point in the life of Jesus and his ministry. And from that moment forward, he began to teach them in parables. And it wasn't to get the truth out to the masses. It was actually to conceal the deeper things of God and to reveal them only to the people who truly wanted to hear and to understand the truth. Wow, this... If that hasn't raised your level of kind of, whoa, I want to find out a little bit more about these parables and what, I mean, this is going to be an awesome study in Matthew 13. It's going to be incredible and as we go through. So actually, I wanted to read through 10 through 17 so you could get the gist of basically everything I just said as to why Jesus is teaching in parables at this point. In verse 10, it says this, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So here's the question, right? When you look at the scripture, yes, sometimes the questions are just asked for you, and isn't that nice? So they asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And listen to Jesus' answer in verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Wow. So there's going to be some incredible mysteries, profound mysteries that Jesus is going to relay to the group, to the people that actually want to hear and to understand what he is revealing to them. So look what he says. He says, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You might have a translation that actually says secrets. Secrets of the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom, things hidden. Things hidden. Jesus is going to reveal them, but they've been hidden. They've been covered so far. And it's been given to you. I tell you what, I want to know the deep things of God. Amen. I want to know there's secrets, there's mysteries. There's things that God, there's deeper things. Yeah, yeah. Just when you think you got God all figured out, let me tell you, you don't have him figured out. Amen. He will blow you away. He will blow us away for the rest of all eternity. He's going to be revealing stuff. And look what he's doing here in chapter 13. So it's been given to you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Those who believe in Christ have been given a special gift. If you believe in Christ, you're here, you've been given a special gift. What's that? You've been given a gift to hear and understand the deeper things of God. You look out onto the world and you say, well, why don't people understand? Well, here's the chapter to help you understand why they don't understand. Because it hasn't been given to them to understand because they have not accepted the truth of the initial word, the gospel message. They have not come to that place, and they haven't come to that place where God has opened up to them the deeper things, the things that I want to know about. Amen? And so, if people reject the basic gospel message, they will not understand the deeper things of God and the deeper things of the kingdom. Now, people who are believers are given more. If you're a believer and you're eager to hear more, you're eager to learn more, you're going to be given more. You're going to be given more. But for those who have rejected the initial message, they've rejected the gospel, they've hardened their hearts and say, I don't want to hear that, I don't want to hear that. What Jesus says, he says another profound thing. He says, even what they have, they don't even have anything, but even what they have, that's going to be taken away. Look at what Jesus says. People who reject the gospel, even what they have will be taken from them. He goes on to talk about, he quotes from Isaiah. He talks about the dullness of the people of Israel, that they rejected God, and he soon took the message away from them. Here, God had brought them the prophets and all this, and they just rejected the word of the Lord. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't understand it. They didn't want to know it. Why? Because they had chosen to go off and follow after all these other things in their life. They had followed after all these other peoples and these men and women down through the history of Israel that had brought in paganism and worship of Baalzebub. That's what they went after. And Jesus is here quoting Isaiah saying, look, this is what happened to the people of Israel, in Isaiah's day. Now listen, believers are blessed to be able to continue to hear from God. Look at verse 16. If you're in Christ tonight, this is you. But blessed are your eyes, amen, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you're in Christ. Blessed are you if you're seeking after the Lord. Blessed are you if you're eager to hear, because your ears are open and you're wanting to hear, and God is going to continue to reveal the things. I want to shoot straight with some people tonight. If you have stopped hearing from God in your life, I want to submit to you that you're rejecting the deeper things of God. Now, if that is not in line with what I just read and what I just explained from Jesus of Nazareth, he's going to continue to pour out into our lives all the way through all the days of our lives, as long as we're there wanting to hear, as long as we're there wanting to receive from the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, as long as I've kept my, and I'm not saying it up here saying, you know, saying I walked some perfect life. I've had pockets of my days and my times when I've just kind of, you know, thought, well, maybe I've got a few things figured out now. Maybe I've got a few things figured out. And you know what? God just kind of lets you go until you come back and you say, no, I want to know some more. I want to know more about you, Lord. I want to keep growing in you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. Wow, that's some deep stuff, but let's just go on in let's take a look at this parable, okay? Let's go back. A sower goes out. Verse 3. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. A sower went out to sow. This is what sowers do. If you're going to go have a field, if you're going to have a crop, you have a sower, right? You have a farmer, you have a sower. He goes out. That's what a sower does. Now, the Revised Standard, and I have the New King James here, it says a sower went out to sow. The Greek actually says not a sower, but the sower. The sower goes out to sow. And I think this is the case for two reasons. Perhaps when Jesus was teaching this from the boat and he's looking off, perhaps he could see a field off in the distance and there was a sower. And perhaps he pointed and said, the sower goes out to sow. That's one point, and I think that's probably a valid speculation of interpreting that. But let me submit to you this. Jesus is actually going to bring out a deep truth about hearing the word of the Lord in our lives. And there is a sower that sows the word. Amen? And it's God. God sows his word. He speaks to people. If you read the Old Testament, if you read perhaps the book of Numbers, oh wow, really? Yeah, the book of Numbers. Read it one day, and almost every chapter, not everyone, but a series of them begin with, and God spoke to the people, or God spoke to Moses. And you, after you're reading it, you kind of get this idea, wow, God's a speaking God. God's a God who speaks to people. God's a God who's just having a conversation. And he wants to have a conversation and an ongoing fellowship with the people who want to have that ongoing fellowship with him. Amen? So the sower goes out to sow. And when the sower would go out to sow, there would be different kinds of ground that he would encounter. Now, the fields were lined with these walkways, these pathways, and this is what we're going to get into. This is really what Jesus is calling the wayside. And on these pathways, literally, if you have a pathway that you see, what happens is when you have an area where people continually walk on a particular path, it just kind of gets beaten down. It just gets hardened and crusted down to the point where you're like, okay, well, maybe we should put some pavers in here or something, right? You know, because the grass ain't going to grow anymore because everybody keeps walking this way. It keeps on getting beat down. And this is really the wayside. So you had four types of ground that the seed would fall on. The wayside, and that was exactly what I just described to you. The stony ground was not ground. It's not necessarily a ground that was just filled with rocks, like a ground that had good dirt and then there was like rocks in it. It was literally a type of ground. If you know anything about the, and I learned this actually on our trip to Israel, there's a soil, and then underneath some of the soil, you can have like a layer of limestone, like a rock. And what the stony ground was literally where you had a thin layer of soil, and then you had a layer of this limestone. So you had this very shallow soil portion, and then it was stony underneath, and that was the stony ground. Then, of course, you had the thorny ground was deceptive. If you ever have done gardening, raise your hand if you've done gardening or you pulled weeds in your flower beds or whatever, you know about this, that when the sower was sowing, the ground, you can actually get ground kind of looking like it's clean. You know, you kind of get it basically clean, where you kind of get the top of the weeds and whatever. And how many know that if you're going to pick weeds and thorns and things out of a ground, if you just pick the top of it, you've left all that material underneath there that's just going to germinate and just come right back because you've just cleaned off the top. And so that's really what you had, the thorny ground, where you had all this stuff, this fibrous roots of grass, this you know awful grass and weeds and all this ready to spring to life. And so, and we all know that. And then the fourth ground was the good ground. Yeah, the good ground. The good ground was deep, clean, soft soil that was good ground. And the seed could go down into this ground, and it could find all the nourishment that it needed, and it could grow, and it didn't have anything kind of getting in its way. It had depth. It was good ground all the way around, and eventually it was such good ground that seed put into this type of ground would actually be the type of ground that would actually bring forth a plant, whatever was being sown, and bring forth a harvest for the sower, for the farmer. So when you look at these four grounds that we see here in the first few verses of chapter 13, what you see is the four types of people or the four conditions of the human heart, of the human life. And so what we're going to do now is we've done everything, we've done the setup, we know why he taught in parables, and we've looked at the ground. Now we're going to skip ahead to verse 18. You say, Charles, you really are teaching this all backwards. Well, I'm teaching it to you in a way so that you can actually kind of understand it all. When we're all done, you're going to go, wow, okay, that was good. Maybe you should get a boat. Let's pick it up, verse 18, and we'll look at it. Jesus actually, of all these parables in chapter 13, Jesus actually interprets two of them for us, and this is one of them that he interprets for us. Beginning at verse 18, he says this, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it,
then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay, so here's Jesus, and he now gives us the interpretation of the parable of the sower. The first person is represented by the wayside. Remember, I told you the wayside was those areas kind of on the sides of the fields, and those were the sides where everybody walked, and because that was where everyone traversed and everything, those areas were just beaten down and hardened, and it was the wayside. Now, the wayside, Jesus, he interprets this person for us, this wayside type person. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So what is it that the person that is the wayside person, what is it that they lack that they don't have? The wayside person, Jesus says, is without understanding. He hears the word of the kingdom, but he does not understand it. And perhaps there's a little more to it. It's not like he, you know, it was an algebra problem and he didn't understand it. And it's like, ding, 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 ding. Nope, you got the wrong answer. You don't understand it. Therefore, you know, you're just going to reject it. No, this person is not wanting to understand it. This person is kind of hearing the word of the kingdom and they're rejecting. This is the word. This is that wayside person. The wayside person is without understanding. The wayside soil represents those who hear the word, but they don't go further into understanding and accepting and receiving. The word of God must be understood before it can bear fruit in a person's life. Now, you have another character that's involved with this person, this wayside person. You have these birds, right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Back in the other one, he's in verse 4, in the parable, he said, and the birds came and devoured them. Jesus is actually saying that the birds that he talked about in the parable is actually the wicked one, the evil one, that comes and he snatches the word away from people. The word is actually sown out into people's lives. And the wicked one comes to these wayside people, and he steals it away. And this is exactly what Paul articulates to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And I'll have it up on the screen for you. You can read. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what is it that Paul is talking about to the Corinthians? He's actually talking about how the God of this age literally has blinded people, and he blinds people, and he keeps people in just kind of the shackles of sin, so to speak. And they're in the shackles and the bondage of their own sin, and they're just kind of clinging on to that. And here comes the gospel, and the gospel message is a gospel message. If you receive it, if you hear it and receive it, it's a message that the power of it will literally loose those shackles off of you. It will release you from the bondage of sin. It will literally bring freedom into your life. But people are bound up and blinded. They're bound and blinded by the God of this age. And it's unfortunate. Spurgeon had this to say about this. He says, Satan is always on the watch to hinder the word. He is always afraid to leave the truth even in hand and dry contact with a mind. He's always trying to cloud it, shroud it,
steal it, come after it, infect it, pollute it. He's doing everything that he can so that people kind of remain in kind of that wayside condition. So that's the wayside. That's that wayside person. Now, Jesus moves on, and he interprets the stony ground. The stony ground, he says, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The stony ground person is without root. The wayside person is without understanding. The stony ground person is without root. A seed falling on this thin layer of soil. Remember I told you about the stony ground. It was a thin layer of soil, and then you had this limestone, this stone underneath the soil. And so the seed would hit the thin top layer, and it would even spring up. It would spring up. Remember when we did those experiments in elementary school, you know, and they'd teach you how a plant grows, and they'd get the little styrofoam coffee cups, and they'd put that really nice, good soil in it, and you'd put a little seed. I don't know what kind of seed it was, pea seeds or you know, bean sprout seeds or something, and you'd put it in there, and everyone would come in and water it, and they'd have these lamps and everything, and sure enough, it was only this deep of soil, but sure enough, that little bean sprout would sprout up, but I'm pretty sure that amount of soil wasn't enough to have a big bean stalk, amen, like Jack and the Beanstalk or anything. And so this is basically the stony ground person. The stony ground person doesn't have the depth of soil in their life. There's no depth of soil, and so there's no root that the word can take in their life. And so here's the problem with the stony ground person. The word comes into their life, and Jesus actually says, and they receive it. He says he hears it, he hears the word, and he immediately receives it with joy. He receives it with joy, but there's no root in the person, and they don't, because there's no root, they don't become grounded. They don't become grounded in the word. They don't become grounded in Christ. And that's exactly what God wants for it to happen in our lives. He wants us to be grounded in Christ, grounded in the Lord, grounded in his word. Amen? One of my favorite passages of scripture is Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses. Man, you should just fall in love with these verses for your life. For your life. You want to fall in love with these verses. It says this, blessed is the man and woman. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, the wayside, right? Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of God, the word. And in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow, that's what God wants for your life. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be planted in good ground. He wants you to be planted in ground that you can actually grow roots and deep down be grounded in Christ, be grounded in the word. And because you're grounded in the word and in Christ, the word effectually makes you a tree, and a tree, and we're talking about a fruit tree. Amen. We're not talking about just any old tree out here. We're not talking about a nut tree. We're talking about a fruit tree. Amen. Because God wants us to bear fruit for him. He wants to bring us up to a place where we're bearing fruit. And what type of fruit is it that he wants us to bear in our life? The fruit of righteousness. Amen. He wants to build something. He wants to bring forth a product in your life that is going to bring you to such a place in your life that you are going to shout for joy when we sing these songs. Amen. That you are going to shout for joy and know what God has done in your life, that he's brought you to a place that you could have never gotten any other way, but only because of what he's done in your life. Amen. Amen. Wow. So because they don't have any root, they're not, these stony ground people, Jesus says, they're not willing to endure the tribulation that comes, the persecution that comes with being a person of the word.
There's going to be persecution when you become a person that receives the word, that becomes grounded in Christ and grounded in the word. When you begin to adhere to the word and allow the fruit of God to grow, guess what? There's going to be persecution. There's going to be tribulation. It may be with your own family. Jesus actually, he's actually having situation with his own family, right? He said, I told you in chapter 12, here his mom and his brothers had come to get him. Jesus, come on back home. Just come on back. You know what he said? Actually, I didn't quote that because we didn't teach through chapter 12. But he says, you know who my mother and my brothers are? Those who hear my word and do it. What's this? Yeah. So you're going to receive tribulation, persecution. And here's, if you're rooted and grounded, man, you're going to be making it for the long haul in your life with the Lord. Amen. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-meter dash. Man, if it was a 100-meter dash, man, we'd all get down in there, boom, the gun would go off. We'd run our 100 meters, go, yep, yep, that we did it. We did it, God. We lived for you for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, we did it. No, it ain't 2 weeks. It's your life. It's your life to live it all, every day of it, every moment for the Lord. Wow, I got to hurry. The thorny ground person is too entangled with the cares of the world. Look at this, verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So the thorny ground person is too entangled with the cares of the world. The seed that fell among the thorns would grow. There was enough soil in there so that it would grow, but there was also some thorns, some weeds, just those god-awful weeds in there, you know? And isn't it crazy how the weeds grow so fast? You try to get your grass to grow nice and thick and green, and you got to pay some guy to come out and spray chemicals on it for $4,000 a month, you know, so that you can have a nice-looking lawn, you know, like the rest of the people in the neighborhood. I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to. Right? You go down to Home Depot, get yourself a bag of Bonus S, right? Where was I? Thorny ground. So there's some dirt down in there, but there's weeds and there's thorns and there's all kinds of stuff. So the thing comes up, and so people respond to the word, they receive the word, the seed goes down, but there's dirt down in there, but there's weeds down in there too. And the weeds and the thorns are growing up, and then the seed grows up, but the weeds and the thorns grow up. And what happens is, here the seed is trying to grow up into that thing that God wants, but there's the weeds and the thorns, and it grows up, and it literally attaches and chokes out what God's wanting to do in the person's life. And so the thorny ground person is too entangled. These people show a flash of enthusiasm for God and His Word, but it's short-lived. There are things in your life that are always going to be in competition with you hearing from God. Let me say that again. There are things in life that will always be in competition with you hearing from God. There are different voices. There are different voices. Some of those voices may be members of your family. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's somebody. You got all these voices just kind of going. And here's what you have to do as a person who's walking with the Lord. You have to prioritize the voices and get rid of most of them altogether if you're going to follow God and hear from God for the long haul. Yeah. Amen? Let me just say that again. You have to prioritize the voices and get rid of most of them altogether if you're going to follow God and hear from God for the long haul in your life. Now, I want to talk to you about one of those voices, the voice of the media. One of those voices in our lives is the voice of the media. What do you mean by media? I mean anything that's out there screaming in your ear, trying to tell you how to think about stuff. Trying to inform your worldview
about how to think, how to be, how to do. No, for the Christian, this seed, this word, this seed, this is the way that we inform ourselves. This is the worldview that the Christian has. And the media is going to come. It could be a band. It could be a song. It could be a talk show. It could be a TV show. It could be the news. I don't care what it is. It could be a newspaper. It could be a book. Could be all kinds of stuff. The media is going to be out there and they're going to try to inform you. Now, I'm not throwing every piece of the media out, okay? I'm saying that we have to be selective with the voices and we have to look at the voice and say, does this voice line up with the principles in God's word? Because if it doesn't, I need to be very careful with how much of that or how much, if any, that I allow to continue to be sown into my heart. Because I'm allowing weeds and thorns and thistles to be sown into my life, and it begins to infect, and it begins to infect the way people think. Now I'm just going to go right, way out on the edge here. I'm gonna. There's no more room here, but I'm going to go all the way out on the edge here. There are people who have their mind so indoctrinated by voices that are not the voice of the word. But the voice of the world, that they actually, as Christians, accept positions in their lives, philosophies and positions in their lives that are such in stark contrast with what it means to be a person of life, a person of the kingdom, a person of the God who brings every soul into creation and into being. And yet you have Christians all over the place who've adopted all kinds of stuff. And you can probably think of a few things that you're thinking of. Wow, the voice of the media. I'll tell you, I'll just share a little bit and then we'll be done here in a second. It was about 3 years ago, almost four, that I had kind of listened to so much TV and news and all kinds of stuff. It was just like kind of like a, it was a daily intake, daily thing. And I tell you what, I sat on my bed about a little over 3 years ago, and I kind of just went cold turkey. And I said, you know, I'm done with this. I'm done. It's not that I don't want to be informed, and I stay informed, and I read the headlines, and I read articles, and I keep up with, and I can talk about what's going on currently with the best of people. But what I'm talking about is sitting and having a steady diet of voices in your life that are literally infecting and choking out what God wants to do in your life. And I am going to tell you, you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. Let me tell you what happened after I did this for a while. Joy, peace, trusting in God, just the work of the Lord, became more manifest in my life. And I know I'm probably stepping on some toes and whatever, but hey, I'm a preacher and that's what I'm supposed to do, right? What's the old saying? Which one? There's one that the punchline is afflict the comfortable. I can't remember the first part of it. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's the one I was looking for. Anyways, I'm not trying to afflict anyone tonight. I'm trying to just bring the good seed, the good word of the Lord. Now, let's wrap it up. The good seed. The good ground person. What is it? The good ground person has understanding and bears much fruit. He has understanding and he bears much fruit. So this is what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to bear fruit. I talked about it. He wants you to be like a tree planted. He wants you to be fruitful in your life. And the fruit that he wants to bring in your life is this righteousness. He wants to bring everything about, what did Paul say about the kingdom? Kingdom is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what God's about. That's the type of fruit that God wants to bring out in your life. And so You know, man, whatever type of ground you are tonight, just, you know, be willing to admit that maybe, you know, yeah, well, I consider myself good ground most of the time, but I have to admit, maybe I've been a little thorny ground. I have this little pocket of thorny ground in my little garden, the garden of my life. I have this little patch here that I allow these thorns and thistles, and I allow it to get me all riled up about a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Righteousness and joy and peace, joy in the Holy Spirit, Paul told the Romans. Anyways, so he wants to bring a harvest. The word always brings a harvest. A harvest. The word brings a harvest. So look for the harvest of the Word of God. Some people give up on hearing the Word and really digging in and being that person of the Word and being in service and soaking up the Word. Number one, they're in a place, they're in a church where they're not getting the seed of the Word. They're getting like, who knows, maybe they are getting like, they're getting repackaged stuff from the world in the church. So you got to find yourself in a place where the Word is going forth. Now, look for the harvest in your life, and the harvest will come. Now, to finish this up, the harvest comes in varying degrees. The harvest comes in varying degrees because Jesus said the harvest comes some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And I believe that the varying degree has to do with how much good ground you are, good soil, and how much thorny ground you allow into your little garden. Because you can allow little thorns and thistles around the edge, and you have this little patch in the middle, and it's like, hey, I got a 30-fold harvest. But then you got this guy over here, oh, I'm 60-fold. And then you got this guy over here, and he's 100-fold, and he's like, you know, this is awesome. Wish you guys could experience. And then you got the wayside people and the stony ground people looking on going, what? I don't understand. Yeah, you don't understand because you don't have the understanding of the deeper things of God. Amen? Let me wrap this up. Here's what you need to do. You've got to make sure you're good ground. You've got to make sure you're good ground. And I think you've got to manage your ground daily. You've got to be a ground manager. Amen? You've got to be a ground manager. You said, I'm not a manager in my life. Yes, I am going to officially deputize you to be a manager, a ground manager in your own life. You need to manage your ground. If it's got rock in it, get the rock out. If it's got thorns, get the thorns out. Get them out. Get the weeds out. Hear the word and apply it to your life, and you will see a harvest in your life that I believe it would just, it's the deeper things. It's the deeper things. Amen? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. I believe God wants to give you a taste of it so that you're like, hey, yeah, that's what I want in my life. Amen? So how do you hear from God? How do you hear from God? Well, you got to manage your ground. You got to manage your ground. And be good ground. Be good ground. And you will bring forth a harvest.